So once again on Deconstructing Boomer Truth, our three characters, Boomer Waylon, Gen X Daria, and Millennial Medicine, will be breaking down this film from 1949. Let's take a little look.
Yes, Jim, what is it?
Well, Mr. Evans, Miss Black wanted me to bring this to you.
Oh? Won't you sit down, Jim? I understand you have an unusual pencil, Jim.
Yes, sir. That is, it's nothing special.
But you're rather proud of it.
It has my name on it. I won it in an essay contest.
May I see it? Personally, I think that something like this is better for carving.
I'll fix the desk, Mr. Edmonds. I'll sand it down and refinish it. You won't be able to tell where I scratched it at all.
That's a good idea, Jim.
I'll begin today, after school.
That will be fine.
Well, what else do you want me to do, Mr. Edmonds?
Perhaps you can help me with a problem. I'd like your advice, Jim.
My advice?
Yes, I've got quite a serious problem. There are a great many young people in the school, Jim. Each is an individual, but in one important way, they're all alike. They're all growing up.
Is that the problem, Mr. Edmonds?
Yes, growing up is a problem. Because, well, I remember one time I watched some of the boys play ball. You've probably seen it too. The boys were all about your age. In years, they're young men. But sometimes in their behavior...
They act like children?
That's it. A boy batting struck out, and what a fuss he made. He was a young man in years. But the way he behaved was more in keeping with a five-year-old. When you see a child do the same thing, you think, oh, well, he'll grow up sometime. But at 15 or 16, this boy was still reacting the same way. He was still showing violent temper when little things went wrong for him. So the question is, why doesn't he grow up? Why does he still behave as a child? How can we help him get rid of these leftovers from childish behavior? That sort of behavior we call an infantile reaction.
So quite a lot of little observations we can make already. First of all, Jim's crime here, the carving his initials into the desk, was considered so serious he was sent straight to see the headmaster, and the school was written a letter by his mother. He immediately owns up to it. He immediately owns it and says, listen, I'll make it better. I'll mend the desk. And yet that is not enough for Mr. Edwards here, who actually wants to go deeper and to make Jim understand the root of the problem. And he does this by empowering Jim to make the analysis himself. And he frames it in terms of helping all of the other pupils in the school, which is a very nice technique from Mr. Edmonds. He actually treats him like an adult, not like a child, which is very interesting. However, there is something else that interests me here, which is that at no point during this story so far does either Jim, his mother, or Mr. Edmonds question the idea that Jim is solely responsible for what he has done. And I think that this is one respect in which their worldview is straightforwardly what I would call Protestant. Jim is expected to feel shame and guilt for his actions. There is no question that it is he and he alone that is responsible. Whereas I think all three of our characters, Boomer Waylon, Gen X Daria, and Millennial Medicine, would be prone to seeing structural or external factors to blame for what Jim has done. Gen X Daria in particular grew up in a time of incessant psychologizing in which everybody was taught from a young age to think along the lines of Philip Larkin's This Be the Verse. They fuck you up, your mum and dad. They may not mean to, but they do. They fill you with the faults they had and add some extra just for you. But they were fucked up in their turn by fools in old-style hats and coats, who half the time were soppy stern and half at one another's throats. Man hands on misery to man. It deepens like a coastal shelf. Get out as early as you can and don't have any kids yourself. And this essentially Freudian view of the world is something that Gen X Daria swallowed wholesale. And I think that were she watching this, she would immediately start wondering, well, what's going on at home for Jim? Why is Jim doing these delinquent things? What's missing? What has caused this? Or that kid who we see playing baseball, you know, maybe he has unresolved issues, quote unquote. What are his issues? And of course, one of the reasons that Gen X Daria thought along these lines is because her parents were boomers. Her parents were basically a broken generation of people who didn't have a proper moral compass. Which brings us on to Boomer Waylon himself. What would he make of this? And I think, first of all, he would probably be struck by very superficial things, like, for example, how square Jim is. I mean, despite the fact that he's carved his initials on this desk, he's quite obviously a square. You know, he's not hip, this guy. He's very old-fashioned. And I think Boomer Waylon would, be prone to want to make fun of the fact that this is something from 1949. It's old. It's from a bygone generation. And his instinct, I think, is to poke fun of that because it probably scares him to think too much about what is being said. Millennial Medicine, she, or I'm sure, would have already clocked the fact that there are no people of color here. It's all white people. It's all men so far. It's a male authority figure. Mr. Edmonds is very much, the talking head of the patriarchy. He's an older man. He's a wiser man. He is almost the voice of God in this video so far. And yet the underlying message presents a real problem for Millennial Medicine, and to a lesser extent for Waylon as well, because the idea that you should act your age, that you should be mature as opposed to childish, is the exact opposite of their worldview, which is essentially to be an eternal adolescent, to be an eternal child, in both the case of Waylon and in the case of Madison. So I'm not sure how they process this, because some of this must be hitting home. Let's see where it goes.
Infant. Well, whatever it is, it spoils the game for others. Why can't he act his age?
I guess scratching a desk spoils it for others, too. Why can't I act my age, eh?
That's what I'd like to know, Jim. Well, you know what to do about the desk. But now this pencil. If you were a first grader, I'd just keep it, wouldn't I?
Oh, but Mr. Edmonds, I'm not... not a first grader.
Hmm. Oh, you're not. So suppose you start fixing that desk. Come back for your pencil when you feel you're ready for it.
Yes, sir.
Goodbye, Jim.
Why can't I act my age? That's a good one. Oh, well. Fix up the desk and forget about the whole thing. Pencil gone? Oh, yes. Maybe one of these pencils will do it. Hey, act your age. No use getting sore. That won't open the can.
Hello? Oh, Mr. Olson.
Need some help, son?
Why, yes. Do you have a knife or something to open this?
Yes, I guess so. I'm using yours to carve up a desk, I see.
No, a pencil.
A pencil? Bright crop of young fellows in this school. Every day, think up a new way to act like babies. Never grow up. Still little boys playing with morals. Pencils, knives, pulling girls' hair. Well, there's no sense in cleaning up here until you're through. I'll come back later.
Now, this is a superb example of social pressure and social shame in action. The message of Mr. Edmonds has now been reinforced by somebody else in the community and somebody lower down in the hierarchy, the janitor. Now, just imagine this exact scenario today. If Jim, for example, was a young man of colour, would the school be empowered to do this? What would happen to the janitor if the janitor gave that exact speech to the kid who was already in trouble and already in detention for doing this? I wonder whether there might not be complaints put into the school about a janitor who spoke to a pupil like that today. But in any case, I think Boomer Whalon may be starting to get a bit frustrated with this whole scenario. He's like, well, the kid is already serving his penance. He's already sorting out the desk. So this is overkill now. Why is he being made to feel so bad? Man, this is such an oppressive society. This is such a claustrophobic atmosphere for a kid to grow up in. He just wants to be free to do what he wants any old time. Why can't you just let the kid be the kid? This is a fascist school, man. An old Gen X Daria, she may be already thinking about the lines of, like, what long-term damage is this going to cause for Jim? This now seems like pretty harsh treatment. After all he did was carve his initials in some desk. And yet, of course, Daria also has some aspect of Jim in herself. So part of her kind of respects what's going on here because they're the natural feelings that she has felt her whole life, but were effectively denied her by her own parents. In a way, she wishes that her parents had been more like Mr. Edmonds here. But of course, that's not to be. And in any case, this is just a shoddily put together propaganda movie from 1949. And real life teachers weren't like this. This is all just idealized. It was never real. So I think Daria would possibly start thinking along those lines to herself in order, in a way, to banish the romantic feeling that there may have been a better time through pure cynicism, which is, of course, her modus operandi. Well, Millennium Madison's probably starting to get a bit bored now, fidgeting with her phone or something, but if she was going to say anything more interesting, she may start thinking along the lines of the panopticon of this patriarchy and how it's reinforcing its own bourgeois Protestant values in this young lad, Jim. Quite why those values are bad ones remains to be seen, but I think she may gesture towards an analysis like that. Let's continue.
Still little boys. Playing with marbles, eh? But maybe it's true. Remember what Bill did yesterday. He was sitting right there. I guess he thought no one was looking when he took Jean's notebook. Was he cheating? Probably. And that's a childish thing to do. That's a child's way out. Then there was Phyllis the other day. She seemed to be worrying about something, and when Miss Black called on her, and she wasn't ready with an answer, why, you'd have thought it was something terrible that had happened. She almost cried, just like a little girl. Yeah,
That's it. An infantile reaction. Why don't we act our age? I'm going to talk to Mr. Edmonds again. After school, tomorrow.
I've given it a lot of thought and, well, I'm not the only one, Mr. Edmonds. Everyone seems to act childish sometimes, but I don't understand just why.
Well, it's partly because of the way we grow up. Your body's growing up now, Jim. You're growing much taller these years. But it may be some years more before your shoulders really broaden out and you become fully grown. Growing up emotionally is much the same. Different parts of our personalities grow at different rates. Some of us never grow up entirely.
So one side of a fellow's personality could be grown up, and another still infantile. Is that right?
Yes. For example, you've seen the girl who always has to win an argument. Most of the time, she behaves like a young lady. But let someone disagree with her, well, she might just as well be 5 years old. We see reactions like this with young children.
So we might well imagine millennial Madison getting a little bit triggered at that last one. You know, these are the emotional reactions, the genuine emotional reactions of women trying to fight the patriarchy, being shut down by an oppressive and toxic male patriarchy that just doesn't allow her to express herself. So she's now got a bit of a narrative because there are some women in here, and now she can start to paint a picture of this as being a wrong and bad way of looking at the world. And in fact, I think Boomer Waylon and Gen X Daria would also start to do this, and they'd start to post hoc rationalize why that is in different ways. But it all boils down to the same thing, which is that this film sees growing up and sees acting your age and emotional maturity as in fact a form of stoicism, a form of self-control that downplays the emotions, that doesn't allow emotions to vent. You want to put a lid on it and try to rise above it. So in a way, they're appealing to a much more ancient idea of controlling your emotions, of stoicism, something you might see in Seneca or Aristotle, for example. But this is somewhat different from how Boomer Waylon and Millennial Madison, at least, have been taught. They've always been told that it's better to talk about your feelings. They've been told that it's better to express your emotions, that it's better not to keep anything bottled up. And so essentially, they've been given the opposite advice, to actually act up, to actually be more like children, even as an adult. And that this advice is in some way wrong and repressive. Very interesting to think about that. Now, Gen X Daria, she's a little bit different because even though she has been told this, ever the cynic, she doesn't actually act it out. So she is probably the least emotional of these three characters and the most quote-unquote rational. But even she, because of the psychologizing that I've talked about, would probably start to think about the psychological damage being done by keeping your emotions wrapped up in the way that this film is asking you to do. Maybe it would lead to an uptight society or something like this. Let's continue.
Then there's the fellow who can't take a joke. He laughs as hard as anyone at most jokes, but when the joke's on him, watch out. His 5-year-old brother would react the same way. There's the boy who constantly shows off to gain attention. There's the girl who cries over trifles. Then remember, there's the ball player who becomes violently angry when he loses out. Those are some of the many infantile reactions we see around us every day. They indicate that a part of one's personality isn't growing up with the rest.
Now, what we need is some method of measuring our growth.
comparing various parts of our personalities.
Say, I have an idea, Mr. Edmonds. I think I can figure out my age. Anyway, I'd like to try.
Just a minute. Don't you want your pencil?
No, sir. I'll wait until I know how old I am.
Let's see. How old am I?
So essentially, Jim devises this test for himself. Then the cleaner comes back in and he takes the test to Mr. Edmonds. And Mr. Edmonds decides to roll this out for the entire school. He gets all of the whole school to do this test. And when I was watching this, I could not help but think that in a strange way, Mr. Edmonds and Jim were coming back from 1949 to cast judgment on all of us. Who of us watching this could truthfully fill out this test and say truthfully that we act our age? And collectively, as a civilization, as a culture, have we been acting our age? We can only think of the responses of Boomer Waylon, Gen X Daria, and Millennial Medicine to a film like this, a very wholesome, a very moral film. To answer that question, we live in a culture that does not ask us to act our age. We live in an age that in many ways infantilizes us, tells us to embrace the child within rather than to leave childish things behind. Maybe now is the time to stop our arrested development and to embrace the idea of growing up, to embrace the idea of self-control. And perhaps the only way to do this is to get back to a place where we might think of the kindly but yet stern and judgmental gaze of a Mr. Edmonds, who we have disappointed, who we have let down in some way. Because Mr. Edmonds is our past. He is our history. He is our forefathers. He is our ancestors. And it is all of them that we have been letting down by acting like children. Now get out.